100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Well, there it is. There's the official introduction. Vic, let's dive right in. Which ones are we going to talk about? Which one are we first going to talk about?
All right. First, I got to mention, I got to skip number 16, Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan. It's a great album, but it's one that I knew very well. I had listened to that album quite a bit, so I skipped it because I'm trying to learn here. So number 15, Are You Experienced by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. It was my first listen to this one. You know, obviously, an American English rock band led by frontman Jimi Hendrix. And you know, I've listened to one before, and I love Jimi Hendrix so far. I listened to one other album, but this one's their debut studio album. And you know, the band Hendrix, the frontman. You had the drummer Mitch Mitchell, and then bassist Noel Redding. They were in the studio about 6 months. They did it in London, and then they started work on this one in October of 1966, and then the album came out in April of 67 by Track Records. Same manager of The Who, another band I fell in love with after listening an album earlier on this endeavor. But on its release date, Hendrix was only about 2.5 years away from his eventual death. Just to kind of get a mind's eye of where his life was with the release of this record. He didn't live much longer after this record. It's a genre of rock, psychedelic rock, that was, you know, at least inspired by, and correct me here if I'm wrong, but perhaps was even meant to, in a sense, reproduce, I guess, the effects of psychedelic drugs.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
But this album, from what I read, is a game changer, according to what I read, for the guitar itself, and it's, you know, the instrument's place in rock and roll music, but not only a game changer for the guitar itself and its place in rock and roll, but also for, you know, psychedelic rock. So Tom has a little bit from the lead-off track, Purple Haze.
Whoa. Now, had you never heard that song before?
Yeah, I have. I had heard parts of it. You know, I never played it, never listened to it. I like to say a lot. You know, some of these songs you can't get away from.
Right,
they have came through your ears before, but I've never played Jimi Hendrix myself. I just wasn't into it. So I don't think I'd ever listened to that song all the way through before. But I also read that for a lot of people, that song was their first introduction to Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, he'd been playing out with, I read that he'd been playing out with bands for a couple of years before this album. I read that he even played with Little Richard, another amazing artist that I listened to an album to not too long ago. But he wasn't widely known yet, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, I read something really interesting about Hendrix that I didn't know. He was from Seattle. He joined the Army. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And he was discharged a year later. But I started thinking, what if he had stayed in? I mean, we may have never had Jimi Hendrix music.
Yeah.
Well, did you read why he was discharged?
No, I did not.
It was listed as for homosexual tendencies.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he'd still be enlisted today if that was the case.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's interesting. Wow. No, I didn't know that. I like to read about these artists, but I can't get too sidetracked. I try to stay with the music because there's a lot of albums that I haven't listened to and I want to get to them. But I do. I can't help it. I have to look into them a little bit. It's just so fun. But yeah, his career in music didn't take off until he was discovered by British folk model and Keith Richards' girlfriend at the time, Linda Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a big deal for this album, though, because after he met her, he moved to London. She introduced him to Chaz Chandler, and then he's the former bass player for The Animals, who I have not listened to yet, but I'll fix that soon. But anyway, Chaz Chandler becomes Jimi Hendrix producer/manager, and in less than a year, Hendrix over there in the UK. He has three top 10 hits. So that's kind of the backstory on this. But Purple Haze was one of those hits. Here's another one called Hey Joe. That's Jeannie's favorite song, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, I was listening and studying, and she heard it from the kitchen and said, "That's my favorite song."
Is that what a guy who's going to kill his woman?
Going down to shoot my old lady.
Yep, Jeannie loves it, though. I said, well, I'll put it in there. So that's for Jeannie. But his voice is great, too. I love Jimi Hendrix. Mm. I can't get enough of it. And I was telling Jeannie, I know it sounds corny, but I'll say it because it's true. I just feel cooler just listening to Hendrix, you know? And I told her that, and she was like, no, I get it. But, man, I really have fallen in love with his music. He was an innovator on the guitar, as I read more about him. Just, I read about the Hendrix, quote-unquote Hendrix chord, his use of bending the strings, the way he also wrapped his thumb over the top of the guitar neck and use it on the fretboard, his use of distortion pedals. I need a guitarist to help me understand anything more about that stuff, but he's amazing to me. But Third Stone from the Sun, I thought was a really trippy song. I asked Tom to play a little bit of it.
My favorite song on the album.
Is it really?
It's my favorite song on the album. Yeah,
it's nearly 7 minutes long.
It's an incredible song.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's up there. I'll definitely go back and listen to that one every now and then. That's a great song, mostly instrumental, but he does speak some lyrics, I guess, too, in there. Incorporates jazz with the psychedelic rock. But I thought it was a good example, I think, of how Hendrix liked to kind of push people. I've heard Tom say it before with movies, too, or other albums. He kind of liked to push people into places they didn't necessarily want to go musically. You know, it's not like you've used the term. It's not as accessible as some other music, but that's why I like it, I guess. But he worked on that song for a few years, I read, before he even moved to London. But let's wrap up real quickly. The RU Experienced album, with one that's hard to forget once you hear it. One he played at his live concerts live a lot, I guess. But it's a blues song Hendrix wrote called Red House. What do you think about that one?
Oh, it's a great song.
Oh, I love that's my favorite one on this album. But anyway, Jimi Hendrix, I don't know where we're at on time, but Jimi Hendrix, his music, I mean, it's amazing to me. And the first album I listened to, of course, Electric Ladyland, still my favorite Hendrix album, but I loved it.
It's Electric Ladyland has my favorite Hendrix song.
Which one's that?
It's Voodoo Child, Slight Return.
Oh, yeah.
It is my favorite. And I just want to suggest, because I sometimes want to throw some stuff at you.
Please.
If you like Jimi Hendrix, a guitarist that came along years later, who was clearly influenced by him, and in fact did an unbelievable cover of Voodoo Child. It was a regular song on his set list when he played live, was the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan.
You know what? I have listened to some of his stuff lately, and Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I need to listen to more, yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, if you like Jimi Hendrix as much as I think you like Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, I love it.
You need to
listen to it. It's the guitar. I mean, yeah. That's why I love that last song, Red House. I mean, it's blues, but man, the way he plays it.
Yeah, and nobody came close to what Hendrix did except for Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Who came real close.
Awesome.
So, all right, cool. That's Are You Experienced by the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And we're going to come back, and we got one more album to talk about as Vic continues with Vic's picks. I'm in a different city, y'all. If I stay too long, the people try to pull me down. Talk about me like a dog. Talk about the clothes I'm wearing. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline studio here on WGN on a Friday morning. We're starting our Friday features. We're in the middle of Vic's picks, and coming up, we've got You Big Dummy Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, let's continue with Vic's picks as we go through the albums that Vic has been listening to. What's next?
Number 14 on this list, Abbey Road by the Beatles. And you know what? I met Tom Hush by the coffee machine yesterday, and he brought it to my attention that next month marks 50th anniversary of the release of this album.
Yep.
And BBC Radio 2 is doing something pretty cool, too. They're going to broadcast from the Abbey Road Studios in London, where the Beatles recorded this in 1969. And they'll be there from Thursday, the 26th of September, through Sunday, the 29th, broadcasting from there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I listened to the complete album, Abbey Road album. And for those like me who haven't been into music much throughout their life, this is the one where, you know, the cover art with the members of the Beatles, Ringo, Paul, George, John Lennon, all crossing the street in that black and white crosswalk. That was right outside Abbey Road Studios, where they worked on this.
Right.
I've obviously heard some of the songs, but not all of them. Some of them were brand new to me. I heard some of the songs for the first time this week. So it took the Beatles most of the year in 1969 to complete this album. Started working on it again, Abbey Road Studios, late February of 69. It was released later that year in September. It's the Beatles' 11th studio album, and it was, we were talking about it before. This is basically the last album they were right in the studio together.
Yeah.
Did I get that?
Yeah, Let It Be came out after, but this was the last album they recorded.
Right. Okay. You set me straight on that one, because it was a little confusing when I was reading that one. But yeah. I know, like I haven't listened to Let It Be yet, but and I don't think it's on this list, but I'll get to that.
It's not.
One. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I will get to that one. But released September 69 by Apple Records. That's the label they made, right?
Yep.
Okay. Right, and that was after their manager died, Brian Epstein died. Tom has a little from the leadoff track on this album, Come Together. One thing I can tell you is you got to be free. Come together right now over me. You know, this one thing I was, I'm going to have to read a lot more about these guys, but a lot of the songs, like for instance, that one, I've read, you know, a bunch of different sites and from a bunch of different critics, and it said it was written by John Lennon. But when I look at the credits, it says John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
That's often the way almost all of the songs are listed. They're listed, most of them are listed as Lennon McCartney. When, in fact, you can tell the Paul songs from the John songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That's a John song. That's a John song.
Okay, I'm sure I'll learn to identify those as I continue listening.
Yeah, no, that's just that's the way that they were, it was billed. It was okay. always Lennon McCartney, but there obviously were songs that were more led by one than the other.
Actually, it makes sense to me now because of something I watched on a video today where it was talking about how money's made. I don't know about now. I don't know anything about how it's made now with musicians, but at least when this came out, it was basically about who wrote the song usually got the most money. So maybe that's why they did it. They put both their names on their
account. Yeah, it became a thing. It was like creative. Lennon and McCartney. It's like when you know, like on all the Zeppelin records, it's always Page and Plant.
Yeah, okay.
And that's kind of a thing that started with Lennon and McCartney. Mm.
Well, I wanted to fit in a little from the next song on the album, too. It's an amazing song called Something. Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. that one written by George Harrison.
That's right.
And whoa, that one blew me away. I've heard it before, obviously, but really listening to it, learning about who wrote it, and then I just got sidetracked and started. Now I want to listen to everything George Harrison did because I really love that song.
Yeah,
maybe my favorite one on this album, actually.
All Things Must Pass. That's the incredible, probably the best album that George Harrison had ever put out.
It's okay. What's it called?
It's a triple album.
It's called All Things Must Pass.
Okay.
And it's a remarkable record. It really is.
Yeah. I can't wait because this song, I loved it. And it was cool learning that George Harrison wrote it. I want to dig into George Harrison more, but that song was one of the moments where George, from what I read, George Harrison really began to shine in the band. That's kind of when he, took him out from under McCartney and Lennon's shadow as songwriters.
Well, he also wrote "Here Comes the Sun," which appears on Abbey Road, and that also was just as equally loved as the rest of the
record. Yeah, we're gonna get to that one, but so. Let's get a little from the fourth song on Abbey Road. It was composed by Paul McCartney. Again, credited to both he and Lennon. But "Oh Darling."
Oh darling, please believe me. I'll never do you no harm.
Yep, Abbey Road. I love this whole album, Nick. It's one of my favorites.
And I do want to mention very quickly before we break, because we got a couple extra spots here to do before the news, the masterpiece of side two of Abbey Road. I think when you talk about Abbey Road, you got to talk about side two. Side two is an extraordinary piece of work, and it's all sculpted by Paul McCartney. Side two is all Paul, and all the songs are connected. It's all like one big, beautiful suite. And the best way to listen to side two of Abbey Road is from the beginning to the end.
Straight through, yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing record.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, man. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up after this.